Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Pat Hickey joins us. He's the Executive Director of the Charter School Association of Nevada. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Fred Locken, John Sandy, and Monica Jay. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Pat Hickey. This day, his role is Executive Director of the Charter School Association of Nevada. Welcome to the program, always.
Good to be here, Sam, with you.
First of all, let's just talk for a minute about the recent legislative session and how you thought everything went with the ESAs, the end result.
Well, they didn't pass, quite obviously. But what they did represent is that parents, families, and frankly, even teachers are looking for new options for schools and the education of the young. And while those vouchers, if you will, don't have an impact upon charter schools, because charters are public schools already that receive public financing, taxpayer dollars, and parents make choices to them, maybe in an indirect way, charter schools will probably grow even more with the result being that they're not private school options, at least not in the last legislature.
You know, it was interesting to see the teachers union obviously ecstatic that the ESAs failed. And you know, the attack on the ESAs is always, or it appears to be, that minorities, the poor, really don't have that option, not because of the money, but because of all the other things that go along with it, transportation, those sorts of things.
Well, that's true. And you know, the other side of it, and Governor Sandoval and Republicans like Mike Roberson would say, even with the defeat of the ESA program, $20 million more was put into the opportunity scholarships, which in fact are available to students from mostly lower economic backgrounds and arguably maybe the students that need options the most.
As you look at the charter school movement in this country and particularly in Nevada, there's no doubt that it's growing.
It's true. As the governor said in his State of the State, it is growing. We have a significant and a nationally recognized charter school sector, which I'm proud to have been with other lawmakers 20 years ago to have been an original sponsor of in 1997. But there are over 10% of students from the Clark County School District in charter schools. We're almost at 40,000 students statewide, and that number is growing. And in part, you know, let's be honest, in the urban areas and Clark County in particular, the reorganization of the Clark County School District, for example, it is an indicator that parents, families, and the business community are looking for more local governance. And in that regard, those site-based committees that are part of that new reorganization kind of take a page out of the charter school playbook.
And it's interesting because, you know, one of the things that was always talked about with Clark County School District being the fifth largest school district in the country, that to break it up would be encouraging more competition. And so therefore you would get, you know, better education. It was interesting in her first interview on this program, Tracy Davis, the superintendent for the Washoe County School District, said, bring it on. You know, she was excited to talk about competition between charter schools and the public schools. And I thought that was, you know, the most positive thing that's probably come out of her reign so
far.
Well,
I think that's a very mature, and I think that's the right attitude to have. And by the way, Washoe County School District has some of the most innovative and successful charter schools that were, in fact, chartered by the district itself, whether it's Coral Academy of Math and Science that was rated second in the state, innovative CTE, career technical education schools like ACE Charter School. Those were all chartered originally by the school district. Frankly, I'd like to see them do more. I mean, ultimately, how can we provide better outcomes for kids? I don't care if it's homeschooling, private, public, charter, or traditional schools. We all should be about creating better schools.
And I couldn't agree more. And what's interesting to me about homeschooling, I've been surprised over the years when people that I didn't think were necessarily educated enough themselves to be homeschool teachers and turned out to be extraordinary teachers, and their kids turned out to be extraordinary.
Well, there are some homeschooled kids that have done exceptionally well, but I think it is the key there are the parents and are they committed to it. I think it becomes a little more challenging for them as they get into the high school years and have to present, advanced anatomy or physics or calculus or things.
But there is assistance for that.
There is, and there are curriculums online that certainly help parents of whatever their choice may be.
So let me ask you this regarding charter schools. Do we have enough teachers for charter schools? It seems like if there's a big push towards charter schools away from the school districts, are we going to be able to sustain that?
Well, we certainly have challenges in the teacher, so-called teacher pipeline in Nevada of attracting enough teachers, and that's a national problem, not just Clark County's or other school districts. I would say this, that charter schools have done pretty good at attracting teachers, and I think part of the reason is they like the fact that there's more flexibility. It's not the cookie-cutter type of administration because each charter school has its own school board, so I think teachers find there's more flexibility. Sometimes there's a little less pay, but for the really good teachers, they're not in it to make the money. So actually, charters have done quite well in attracting teachers who like the freedom, the flexibility, and the ability to innovate in charter schools.
I've been impressed when we do our annual teen edition on Nevada Newsmakers, where we had kids from all over the state come in to do the program. The career and technical academies just unbelievable amounts of entries, let alone the quality of those entries.
Well, that ought to teach us something. I mean, those career and technical schools, I think Vegas has four. Nevada heretofore has only had, Northern Nevada has only had one, although the new plan is to convert Hug High School into a CTE school and then build a new high school for the rest of the students. They will no doubt be successful. I think that's exactly the direction we would go in. And if I had the opportunity to advise the next governor and the next legislature, I would say create more of those magnet CTE schools, whether they're charters, whether they're districts, whether they invite private groups. That's what the folks in Tesla and Panasonic are asking for.
All right, let's take a break. Now you've taken us down an interesting road. We'll be right back with Pat Hickey after this.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Pat Hickey, Executive Director of the Charter School Association of Nevada. You raised an interesting point when at the end of the last segment, talking about Tesla and Panasonic and the need for us to create schooling for their future employees. Is this the correct role for education, both at the university level and the high school level? I mean, in some ways, you know, one would obviously say, yes, of course, we have thousands of jobs. Therefore, we need to create those jobs for our local students, not to have to import them from other places. But at the same time, is that what education is supposed to be in the broader sense?
Well, I think so. I mean, in the broader sense, yes, we want to educate people who will become good citizens and are well-rounded. But the goals of everyone, whether it be Brian Sandoval or Aaron Ford, are how do we create both or either a college-ready student or a career-ready student. And in fact, many of the careers in Nevada, like at Tesla, the advanced manufacturing and other opportunities that are going on, don't necessarily require a four-year degree, but are going to require skills, certifications, and other things that our community colleges and possibly our high schools like ACE Charter or new charter schools that are going to develop those specific skills for kids because the jobs are waiting for them.
And it's interesting to see how things have changed in that sense. And it's great that, you know, we have these opportunities and certain trades that make a lot of money, like the building trades, for example, are desperate for workers. And the idea that, you know, working in the building industry is not necessarily a good thing is crazy.
Well, that's right. And people make very good livings. I mean, graduates from ACE Charter and some of these technical schools go out to the mining industry, for example, as welders and things like that and make $70,000 a year starting out. So
the mining industry, by the way, last week put out a piece said the average wage in the mining industry is $90,000 a year.
Yeah. And I mean, I was talking about a starting wage working in that. And they are literally knocking at the doors of these technical schools. So I think we have to rethink. Education needs to be put on its head. I mean, especially in Nevada, where we're scraping the bottom nationally in our rankings. But throughout the whole country, we're not preparing people for an agricultural society like maybe education was founded around the model of 100 years ago.
And Tom Cargill, the economist, was on the program a few weeks ago. And I believe he said he felt that 25% of the students shouldn't be at the university.
True. And in Nevada, I was going to say this, I think only nationally, I think only 40%, maybe it's 30, graduate from, you know, with a four-year degree. So that's true. And a lot of students we push towards college when maybe they would be much better suited in finding a career elsewhere that could pay them well and they could be healthy and contributing members of society in Nevada that certainly needs them.
In Britain, when I was growing up, 16 was the cutoff age between whether you were going to be on a track to go to university, which potentially you could get into. It wasn't a guarantee, or that you were going to go off into an internship or just go get a regular job. I think that that would be in some ways difficult in this country because it would push the unemployment level up.
Well, I think we just have to change our mindset. I think we have to be willing to break a few eggs to make a new omelet in education. And there are great jobs for kids. I own a painting company, as you know. I have painters, journeymen, and others that make more money than I do as the boss of the company because they are skilled persons who can do very well for their families.
Do you have a fear, and I'm opening this up way beyond your charter school association, but do you have a fear or concern that we just don't have enough employees to handle all the jobs that are opening up here in Nevada?
Well,
certainly don't have the housing.
Well, Mike Kaczmierski's sort of been, you know, waving that flag
from Edon
for a while, you know, suggesting that, boy, we've got 4 or 5% growth projected out there in terms of the companies coming in and the needs for them. And are we finding the graduates or having Nevadans? Well, if not, then I guess we import people who become Nevadans. Obviously, as a state, we should hope that those jobs go to Nevadans first, and schools like charter schools, I think, can help contribute to making those career-ready graduates.
And that's where we have to leave it, but to be continued. Pat Hickey, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Sam.
We'll be right back.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada, and we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Fred Locken is here, professor of political science at Truckee Meadows Community College. John Sandy IV is a lobbyist and one of the owners of Argentum Partners. And Monica Jay, we welcome for the first time to the program. She's a news anchor and public affairs director for News Talk 780 KOH. Pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you.
So, Fred, let me start with you. Where do we head at this point with the government? Because it seems like, you know, healthcare is a disaster at this point. And, you know, we want to look at tax reform, but that's an even bigger job than healthcare. And we're running out of time.
Well, we are. I think that you certainly had a honeymoon period that was quickly exhausted by Donald Trump and his administration. This is everyone had celebrated his inexperience, but we're paying the price of it. Most appointments are still lagging. You have an administration that's been very slow to ramp up, not a sense of how politics works in Washington or politics, period. And so the delivery has been significantly poor. He already has the worst rating of a sitting president at this point in time. And in essence, his core is going to start eroding because of the promises that are not being kept.
Well, Monica, the core is sticking with him. I mean, they are substantially sticking with him.
I think they are.
You know, the whole idea behind his election was that he wasn't a politician. He was a businessman. But do you think he's run into the barrier that there is a huge difference between business and the way business is run and politics and the way politics are run, with the fact that we are potentially going to see the Republicans moving towards the Democrats to get things done?
I think the bigger obstacle is the people who are lifelong, or is what some people are calling the swamp in Washington, D.C. It was just they didn't want to play with him. It's not necessarily that he's a businessman and they're politicians. I think it's just they still want to have their way. But the people who elected and put him in that position want things changed. They want their voices heard. Because I know when I visited Washington, D.C., you could really see a difference. It was a whole different country, not just a whole different location in the U.S.
In what way?
In the way that it was really about them, you know, the longtime lobbyists in their positions, the long time, the connections, the networks, the games, and, you know, the favors that are done for people. I mean, look at you. You come out of Washington, D.C. now, and who partners up in Las Vegas but Harry Reid and Boehner? You know, that blew my mind.
Okay, so we'll take a step back from watching the big picture on TV.
Yeah, sorry about the lobbyist comment.
you know, it almost strikes me, you know, when Jim Gibbons was elected governor, He had been a congressman for many years, but he came in with a whole different agenda and was very conservative and not one to be a part of the system. But he only lasted one term because of that. And, you know, he was given the choice, either step down or, you know, we're going to run somebody against you. And, of course, it was Governor Sandoval. So is that a similar kind of thing that we're seeing where you have a disruptor, which Jim Gibbons certainly was, but you've got all these other people to play with as well?
Absolutely. I think the state governments are mostly a microcosm of Washington, D.C. and in the federal government. The processes, procedures are very similar. And I think you're seeing that at a national level now is that we demand change and we want change so much and we want it our way. Problem is we're losing sight of the fact that politics really is a process of consensus building. And I think that's an interesting thing. And you take healthcare as an example of that, is that we're being so drastic in all the proposals that they are. It's either Obamacare and letting it crumble under its own weight, or replace and repeal, or replace now, repeal later. It's like, well, nobody's talking about, okay, let's look at what we have right now and see ways that we can fix it and make it better and get a consensus. Because let's not lose sight, the Republicans control all three houses. They control the Senate, they control the House of Representatives, and they have the President's office. You would think that Republicans could get anything they wanted done. However, they're meeting these stumbling blocks because nobody's trying to get to a consensus. They're losing sight of what it is, and it's always mine and my way, when I think we need to have a leader that will say, I have a road, I have a vision, I don't know how we're going to get there, I want everybody to help me get there, and we don't have that right now.
Back to the Boehner-Reed comment, though, as late as the 1980s, the U.S. political system was working, and that's when parties actually found middle ground, found things that they could work on. The notion of the polarization and partisanship is basically what's pulling us apart as a country. And the notion, I fully agree, that there's only one kind of Democrat or one kind of Republican, that only one voice can be heard in a nation of 330 million. Is completely inconsistent with logic. Republicans are not a party. They are a collection of individuals, represent a very diverse nation. Mm-hmm. And in essence, all those voices have to be heard. And the answer is not going to be at the edge, but always towards the middle. And as soon as we learn that, and as soon as Donald Trump learns that, we're going to have a better republic.
Well, and also, if you look back to when Harry Reid had 60 votes in the Senate, he still didn't have consensus. I mean, he still had a battle over Obamacare.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, though, it goes back to even here. We talk about getting new blood in. We talk about getting fresh ideas. And yet, whether you're Republican or Democrat, the hardcore just won't give up. And they won't let new people in. They won't let new ideas in. They want to stay on their basic line of thought.
But the fresh ideas have to be connected to some sort of reality. And that's what the voice from Washington is saying, both Democrat and Republican to Donald Trump, is that we know Russia, for instance. We know it extremely well. And under the circumstances, saying that we can do business with them under the circumstances makes no sense.
Do you agree, Monica?
Kind of iffy on that one. Russia makes me really nervous.
John, you get the last word.
Where to start? Boy, since we left on Russia. I mean, the problem is that we have a history with Russia. I mean, Cold War and a lot of this. And now we're talking about Russia like it's this new thing. The relationships, Russia is a dangerous topic. They're friends with a lot of our enemies. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be we have to be tread very lightly when it comes to Russia.
My favorite line was from Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis when asked what keeps him up at night. He said, "Nothing. I keep other people up at night." And that's where we have to leave. We'll be right back.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
On our next broadcast, Jill Derby and Joe Gild. We'll see you then.